too. Browns preseason is here, and the quarterback storylines are just beginning. Roster decisions for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski could get interesting. We're, what, a week from Tuesday, right? Or no?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. I'm off by weekend.
Yeah.
Tuesday. So don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. Cutdown day, as we just said, is coming up on Tuesday. So, Tom, let's jump into this.
This is the first year I haven't had to sweat out cutdown day.
You know what I always enjoyed on cutdown day? There are two things. I always enjoyed to see where free agents always end up jumping. Between the cutdown day to see where guys end up, if they end up on another roster, and the first hour and a half after the draft, I always think are really kind of fun times because...
You know, especially getting picked up, and yeah, there's all kinds of transactions.
Especially
going on, yeah.
If you're covering a college team on a regular basis, and there's guys that you think could have gone pro and didn't, and then all of a sudden you hear that their phone rang 2 seconds after the draft.
Well, in this day of social media as well, cutdown day begins at like 7 a.m. when guys start posting it. Agents and agencies start posting, you know, my client has been released, because obviously they're trying to get word out or what have you. So by the time the Browns give us the cuts at like 5 o'clock. We've already had the list for hours on end. It's going to be an interesting day, though, just because, you know, we'll see what goes on, you know, tomorrow in terms of who plays well. God forbid there's any injuries, what have you.
Yeah.
I'm still fascinated to see, you know, we've been told that this team is willing to take 4 quarterbacks on the roster, which, given the circumstances, I kind of understand, Andy. I know it seems to be counterintuitive and kind of goes against what you would think an NFL team would want to be doing, except you're the Browns and you've been searching for this for so long. So maybe the more options, the better. As we've talked about a million times, the quarterback line moves quickly in this town as well. So I can understand it. And the other thing too, in the argument that I've heard, and it makes a ton of sense, you know, how is it that the 4th quarterback is any different than the 7th or 8th defensive lineman, or the 7th and 8th offensive lineman, or the 6th wide receiver?
The difference is that 6th wide receiver can play special teams. That 4th quarterback isn't.
True too. But again, special circumstances with this club right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's why I've just kind of been like, are they really going to keep 3 guys on the roster that can't play on Sunday?
Yeah, again, it didn't make sense at the beginning of camp, Andy. But then given the situation now, right, with Pickett being injured, right, with Shadur just coming back from the oblique, with Dylan just getting himself, you know, a little bit healthier after being sidelined with the hamstring. So, boy, it's been something. And it was interesting to be out there this week just to kind of, you know, see it firsthand. You know, I haven't been out there a ton this summer, but I was able to spend a couple of days out there. And, you know, piggybacking off of what you said earlier, I have been impressed with the different tempo that I've seen in practices this year. I've seen, you know, everybody's just kind of on the hop, if you will, right? I mean, guys are moving. Like, there's a sense of a palpable sense of urgency when you see them on the field. I've also heard, and this is not surprising, and I'm not telling any tales out of school here, some of the assistant coaches really getting on guys, which we've heard in the past, but not necessarily with the kind of the vigor that I heard a couple of days this week. Like, Deuce Staley, who I have a lot of respect for, first of all, he was a hard-nosed player.
Yeah.
He's a hard-nosed coach, too. He drives these guys hard. I mean, those running backs go through some tough drills. And so, again, I've been very impressed with what I've seen out there in Berea.
Is that the biggest difference, the intensity? Like, because, I mean, you've covered every camp.
They tackled to ground earlier this summer, which was kind of a no-no for the longest time, right?
We were there that day, and everyone was like, what? What are they doing?
It's happening.
This isn't thud. And then you have to explain what thud is to
They're
everybody.
They're going
to
do the Oklahoma drill next?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, which I think was good. But, you know, and if you saw, like, even on the videos they posted, and Kevin's brought this up a couple of times, you know, he talked about the guys getting calloused, right? And I think he's known that he's got to get them, you know, they've had a problem with injuries early in the season over the last few years, right? So I think maybe some of the offseason was you know, trying to figure out what do we have to do different. And I think that's what they came up with, which is that we got to push these guys a little bit harder to get them ready for that week 1. Otherwise, we might have another rash of injuries like we've had in previous years.
How many times have you done this, and I've done this, and I think every fan does this, when you go to watch, first of all, you watch the preseason, you're like, oh, this is good, I like this, I don't like that. And then you flip on the first game of the season, and it looks nothing like what you just watched. It is. It's totally a different sport. And then you say to yourself, oh my God, why can't these guys tackle? Why can't they tackle? And I think part of that's an age thing because, you know, as we've gone over the years, they've decreased the number of hard hits. And yeah, Jeff and I were sitting here earlier this week. We're like, oh, okay, so we're going to have the players after practice and we're going to hear what they have to say. And it's at like 11 o'clock or Stefanski after practice at 1:30.
Yeah.
And you're like, they only practice on the field for an hour and a half? Like, think about that.
Yeah, it is so different, Andy. You're right.
I mean, think about going to Lakeland or going to Kent State, or like when I was a kid. Are you going to the morning session or the afternoon session, right?
Yeah, let alone them just carrying their shoulder pads, which were as big as, you know, you were. So, yeah, it's just different. You know, they do a lot of meetings now, right? A lot of walkthroughs, that kind of thing. So there's a lot to do for them, you know. In fairness, there's a lot to install. I think the thing that worries me about this season as much as anything, Andy, is it's very difficult to develop and win at the same time, right? It's impossible. I mean, everything's got to align. So I know we'll talk about the quarterbacks ad nauseum, but, impressed with the Schlesinger kid, I got to say.
I think that, you know, as we sit here and talk about the quarterbacks every day,
yeah,
his story is just phenomenal.
And it's kind of buried. I agree with you. And he, he flashes, to use a coaching term. You see him all over the place. Mason Graham has impressed me. I focused on him the other day. I really liked, as much as it's hard for me to watch Michigan sometimes. I know when I watched Michigan, he always stood out, right? Guy that was always around the ball, always making a play. He's changed his body even since the OTAs. I mean, he looks like he's in really good shape. Been really encouraged by him. Like some of these young wide receivers that I've seen. As I mentioned earlier, though, the one thing that has stood out to me that I've asked people about as well is still worried about the offensive line depth. And I know that Lucas Kidd, who they talked about as having as their swing tackle, had an ankle injury last week. And I'm not sure if he's not quite back yet. And I'm not sure if he's even available for tomorrow. But yeah, I've heard better things about Zinter, that he's making some progress as well.
I was concerned about what was going on there at the beginning of the season or beginning of practice.
Yeah. And I know he missed a block last week, like at an early stunt, where Gabriel got sacked and, not necessarily his fault, but, have heard good things about him behind the scenes as well.
Let me just dig into this Isaiah Bond thing too, because I want to talk about general things. So if Bond, I mean, it'd be pretty amazing if he's able to have significant time week one against Cincinnati, just knowing that he just hopped in this week. But I mean, stranger things have happened. You can get a guy out there. I mean, we're talking about a wide receiver that just, I'm not trying to simplify the position, but you need to run routes and put yourself in a position to make blocks.
But when you got a guy with that kind of speed out there though, Andy, we hear this all the time about taking the top off of a defense.
Yeah.
Just the element of him being out there makes everybody have to take another look at, okay, remember that guy's there. And you know what? There was a situation that I don't want to get myself into trouble here, but he got behind the defense earlier this week. And there may have been like a little bit of an assignment thing or whatever, but he caught a safety flat-footed and went by him in the blink of an eye. And you were like, oh, okay. And Flacco lobbed it out there like 50 yards and easy touchdown. So, and if you heard Flacco earlier in the week, when before Bond even hit the practice field,
right,
he brought up that speed element, like how crucial that can be for the offense.
Yeah, I found it interesting because we were reading scouting reports on him. Like when he was 8 years old, he was the fastest in the 100 in the country and just things like that. Can you compare him?
He's run a 4.2, he claims.
Yeah, can you compare him to anybody else that we've seen?
Oh, good question.
I mean, Dan wanted to bring up Anthony Schwartz, and I'm like, I mean, we know Schwartz was fast, but just didn't have the hands.
Not quite as... He's smaller than Schwartz. Schwartz has had a little better of a little bigger upper body build anyway. Nobody with the Browns really comes to mind. But you can see, boy, just the way he gets in and out of breaks, you're like, okay, I can see why they maybe went the extra mile here to get this kid.
So when we talk about wide receivers, so you're looking at Tillman, Judy, Jamari Thrash has been impressive. What we've seen on TV and the little bit that we saw.
He has.
Camp.
We were trying to figure out in talking to some of my colleagues out there the other day, should Bond, make an ascension that we think he's going to organically make here? Does he kind of jump Thrash in the pecking order? And I kind of see that as the way, but yeah, Thrash has been impressive. Some of these younger guys that they're trying to get through, maybe potentially on the waiver wire so they can keep him on the practice squad. That Caden Davis kid, help me pronounce.
Where's Deontay Johnson? That was what I was going to ask you.
Deontay Johnson, another interesting one. Like he's had some good moments in camp. He's had some also moments where just, not quite on the same page with guys. But in general, I think that's a guy to keep an eye on tomorrow.
Okay.
I think Deontay Johnson is going to be a guy that they're going to maybe try to feed the ball to a little bit just to make sure that, okay, we want to keep him. We, you know, he's, don't get me wrong. I think he's on the roster or what have you, but
okay.
What kind of a role could he have? Could
I, I think he's in a weird spot because the investment wasn't that great to bring him in.
No.
So, and then like, I think we're going to talk about Gage Larvinen.
Is that yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
So, no. And I mean, Luke Florio's story was awesome too. I hope he's here once they, once he's healthy and they can get him on the practice squad. Yeah. I mean, the story's too good too.
It is. And I think he was tracking that way clearly.
Oh, I mean, to watch the catch that he, the one catch that he made with the one hand out of bounds, going out of bounds in the first preseason game was
and like, active on special teams, all those kinds of things, right? Yeah.
So Larvinen I think is interesting, but then when you get into this, okay, so we're talking about keeping Deontay Johnson. We're talking about, you know, you talked about Caden Davis, who's looked pretty good. And you know, like David Bell's off the radar completely gone. And so, but Larvinen's a guy that you're probably sitting there going, well, man, he's been impressive. Everyone talks about him in practice being impressive. But if you keep four quarterbacks, he's the guy that's right there on the bubble.
And we've heard some of these reports this week about, you know, teams reaching out for wide receivers. I think
running backs too.
Running backs as well. I think, you know, potentially that the trade that they made earlier this week with Briggs to the Jets may have been prompted by the Jets reaching out to the Browns about either wide receivers or running backs. And then it turned into, okay, hey, we got this guy to offer. So, it's going to be interesting. It's an interesting, season or preseason finale. Followed by just 48 hours before those first cuts. So buckle up.
Just give me one more time. Just give me your general feel on where we are with this team. And is this team, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next segment. But
I'm going to give you more optimism than you've heard, I think.
I was with Hanford Dixon last night. He was unbelievably optimistic about, he was talking about 9 wins yesterday. So
I'll be honest with you, Andy. I think they could fall in that 7-9 win range. I really do. Last year got away from them very early, right? Especially with the lack of quarterback play over the first 7 weeks. Then the injury started to mount, what have you. The ball didn't bounce their way. You need a little bit of luck in this league. We all know that. I also feel like I'm not saying that Joe Flacco can recapture that magic from 2023, but he definitely brings a good vibe in there. And I think if you heard Myles Garrett the other day, he talked about, you know, just the fact that he believes in him. And I tried to get Stefanski to address that the other day, and it was almost, and I knew he would give the answer that he gave, but part of the reason, and I know people are pushing back about Joe Flacco, why would you want to start a 40-year-old? Well, you want to start a 40-year-old because this guy is as proven as there is in the league right now, right? He took you to the playoffs a couple years ago, granted, very different circumstances, but given where you're at right now, this is the best option that you have. And I think it's important for this team to start out with a quarterback that they all believe in. That's not to say that Kenny Pickett wasn't going to get a legitimate shot to win the starting job, because I think if he hadn't been injured, I think that was a two-man competition. And I think it was a jump ball, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think he was probably the leader coming into the clubhouse when this thing all started. Let's go talk about that when we come back here in a second. So Tom Withers is in today for Jeff, and you can be in too. 216-474-0092.